You're tuned to 96.3 Free Radio Santa Cruz. And my guest is here and ready to talk. And today we're speaking with Mansa Netoto, chairperson of the Coalition for West Oakland for Revitalization. And he's been an activist for the last 30 years. Mansa, can you tell us a little bit about your background?
Yes, I would be glad to. By the way, I'm happy to be here with you today, George. It's a pleasure, you know. And I don't come to Santa Cruz very often, but I have the opportunity to be here and get some sun. And maybe I'll go down by the beach before I leave and put my toes in the water. activism. I became an activist probably because I was in a truck with my father when he was hit by a police car some years ago. And he ended up dying in a hospital from an overdose of ether, something that shouldn't have happened. And I believe I went on a rampage as a result of it and became an activist in Oakland. And, you know, we put on certain things like we had a group called the Family Netoto. It was an African dance troupe. And we used to do shows at most of the major colleges in California. And we put on an event called African Liberation Day in Oakland, you know, and saw 10,000, 12,000 people come out every year. So that motivated me, seeing so many people. We were trying to help, you know, get services to certain African countries that were not yet independent. And we were sending food and so forth there.
And so it wasn't just local activism. You were working on global stuff.
Oh, yeah. And it is that we realized that we were working probably too much on things African and that we had been slaves. And so we decided let's change our theater, the Family Netoto, to more local activities. And so we started doing dances with the slave auction. We did dances with Rufus and Ruby, who were escaping from the plantation. So, you know, we did a lot of poetry and political activities. And I got into this behind the Cypress Freeway. After we put on African Liberation Day, some years later, we went into some trying to get jobs for people in Oakland around the Cypress Freeway, which is a freeway that runs through Oakland. You take it's the 780, I mean the 880, 17 freeway. But at a point, it goes used to cut through the city. So we decided that we're tired of this. After the earthquake, we were up on the freeway, in fact, trying to help people get out of their cars and, you know, because we live right close to where the earthquake had, the freeway had fell. And so we were trying to help people there. And after the freeway fell down, some friends of mine in a group called CERT got together and said, let's not let this freeway come back through the community. So we worked for 4 or 5 years to stop the freeway from going through Oakland. And now it goes around the outside of the West Oakland community, which is a large African-American community.
So it was actually rerouted around the
yes.
community instead of right through it.
You still get the toxics and the various chemicals floating through the air, but it's not as strong, and there's nobody getting killed because they're trying to cross the freeway, you know, going to their neighborhood, because one side of the neighborhood was already divided from the other one when they first put the Cypress Freeway in. So we decided, let's move it around the outside this time. And in fact, I think it helped some people because the porch trucks can get off and go right to the port, if they would. That's another issue, though.
Mm-hmm.
But while dealing with some of the bad air and other stuff, CWAR is an organization.
What does that stand for?
I'm sorry. CWAR is a coalition that...
Oh, the West Oakland?
The Coalition for West Oakland Revitalization. But it is a group that deals with monitoring, planning, and advocacy. So in those veins, whenever there's some problems in the neighborhood, such as the Cypress Freeway, which I just explained a bit about, we get involved in it. You know, our membership is 20 to 35 people and, you know, like a 7-person board. So the environmental committee or the environmental task force has been taking this issue up around clean air. And so the Red Star Yeast Factory is right next door to a piece of property where we help plan for a transit village to go in and set up a board, subsequently out of CWAR, a board called the Alliance for West Oakland Development. And that organization bought the property right across the street from Red Star Yeast. And is trying to develop the Transit Village in that area of West Oakland.
What? I'm sorry. What kind of village?
A transit village.
Transit?
It is, with smart growth and all of the latest thinking around how it is that people like to go to work. They've come up with a theorem that if the people live in the buildings where the stores and retail are, that we would then have quite a clientele of not only people coming from the outer areas to shop and buy goods and services, but that people who lived in that immediate area would go from there to work and then come back home and do most of the recreation in the unit. So Transit Village is trying to capture this whole smart growth thing and sprawl and not seeing people move out into the suburbs, but come back into the cities and reinvigorate the urban areas.
So would this entail people not having to travel so far to get to work? And
yes.
So more clean transportation? Does this also involve bike lanes? And
BART.
BART.
Yes. Bike lanes, that is a bike trail. And BART, you would ride BART to work rather than driving a car. So people park their cars there that are driving and then ride BART across the Bay Bridge, which saves a lot of congestion. And so that was one of the projects that we had planned out, the Transit Village, Mandela Transit Village. After Mandela, we named the street Mandela, and then we took on the Mandela Transit Village title. So that's not CWAR. Now, that's an organization that spun out of CWAR. We are part of that board that got set up as the alliance. But they're property owners now, and CWAR is more of an advocate planning and monitoring organization.
All right, let's talk about the Red Star Yeast plant. You say it's across the street from a piece of property that a group connected to CWAR purchased to create a transit village.
Yes.
So how does that tie into the Red Star Yeast plant?
Well, as an advocate for community issues, we noticed that the stench, as I went across the street to go into that building, and they have a warehouse there with the Youth Empowerment Center in it, Peel Hill Press, American Friends Service may end up there, you know. And so,
and this is the property across the street from
Red Star Yeast, yes. Mm-hmm. So every time I go into that property, I get a whiff of this stuff. It smells like, you know, I had an uncle. His name was Jed. And he always used to drink, and we could smell him coming up the stairs before he got in the house. And so this place reminded me of my Uncle Jed and his reeks of alcohol all day long.
So the plant reeks of alcohol?
Yes, the yeast gives that kind of a toxic smell. But I found out that it's called acetaldehyde, the chemical that is being emitted. That's what creates that alcohol smell.
And what is that chemical?
It is a chemical that creates emphysema. It can create asthma. It can trigger asthma, in particular if you already have it. It is cancerous, and they have it on the front door of the building, which I've heard they removed the sign lately. But
it's a carcinogen.
Yes. Be aware of the cancer-causing products that we may carry in this factory. You know, so, you know, put your mask on. But this is on the front of the door.
Red Star Yeast plant.
Right. We noticed that the workers are not necessarily wearing those gas masks as a matter of habit in the plant, but that another day.
Mm-hmm. So you noticed the stench and you started to look into it and you discovered that this plant was emitting cancer-causing chemicals. What happened after that? I understand the community has been rallying to get this plant to move. I understand you went to some meetings in May, you had a demonstration in June. Can you talk a little bit about the actions that people have been taking to try to get this plant out of the area?
Well, it started with a single person, a gentleman by the name of, I think it's Jimmy Mack. He decided one day that he didn't like it, and he had heard us talking about it, so he just went out there and stood in front of the place with a sign.
What does the sign say?
The sign said, "Get Red Star Yeast out of the community." So we kind of laughed at it for a minute, but then as we got in touch with the air quality district, and they won't come out unless you get five people to call in, and you can't organize the five people. They have to do this spontaneously. So we always have people calling in, but it's generally one or two people. But when we found out that it needed five people, we thought, well, maybe the Jimmy is not so silly after all to take that sign out in front of the place. So we then organized a meeting where the Air Quality District came to the West Oakland Library. That's 1801 Atline, where we have meetings, by the way, every first Monday of the month. The meetings at 1801 Atline in Oakland.
The Coalition for West Oakland for Revitalization.
Yes, that's what, okay. That's what meets around the Clean Air Festival, which I'll talk about a little bit later. At any rate, we had a situation in which Red Star Yeast had no real leverage going. They've been in the community for a long time, and so they would say to us as we talked to them, truck drivers and other people coming into the plant, well, this place has been here for 50 years, and nobody's complained. That's not true. People have complained, but the complaints come in one by one, and if there's not five in a cluster within the same 2 or 3 hours, they don't register to. The air district won't pick it up. So we found that by organizing demonstrations and trying to get people to come out that live in that neighborhood who smell it all the time, that we will get more response from the factory and from the media. We got quite a bit of media at the demonstration. So when the air district came to the library, we turned out about, 100 people, I would say.
The air district came to the library. Why did they do that? Was it did you demand it and they came? Or?
Well, they're getting ready to issue them their permit. This happens every 3 years. And so we demanded that they have a meeting in the community, not in the San Francisco city where the air district's office is at. And so they came to the local library, and we had this process set up. There was, like I said, about 100 people there, most of them from the community, who were glad to see somebody connected to Red Star Yeast. We didn't know the owner was in the building. We were just talking to the district and demanding that they not issue this permit. But the district seemed to be paid off by some of the companies, not just Red Star Yeast, but some of the companies that do business in the Bay Area that pollute.
Now, how did you determine this? You say they seemed to be paid off, but what led you to believe that?
By the way they were talking in the meeting, it seemed that they could not, they told us that we couldn't stop the permit. We got to issue them the permit.
Oh, as if they couldn't consider not giving them the permit.
That's the point. And we told them that, well, you know, 33,000 pounds of carcinogens are pushed out by this plant every year. So the community is suffering, and we're now trying to get a cumulative survey done of all of the different kinds of toxics and the number of people that have health problems in the area. We're going to do a health survey. And so in preparing to do that, there's a neighboring housing project called Westwood Gardens. And we found 36 cases of cancer in that one housing project. You know, it's about a block away from the place.
How many people live in the housing project?
I'd say a total of about 600, but that's 36 cases of cancer in the 600 units. It's only 90 units there, but, you know, there's 3 or 4 people in each.
That's a high number.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's closer. So now we have not proven, if you ask that kind of a question, that Red Star Yeast is the culprit. We know they're one of the culprits. And so since they put out more pollutants than any other business in the Bay Area, they're number two, you know.
Number two to who's first?
What is it?
Is it the Chevron refinery in Richmond?
I think that's number one. But hold on, it's in the Oakland Bay Area. Let me get closer home. There's another refinery in East Oakland. Mm-hmm. The I forget the name of the refinery, but there's a refinery.
Oil refinery, yeah.
You know, there's a refinery that's burning different kinds of chemicals that is number one. I don't have the name off the top of my head.
But Red Star Yeast is number two.
Not only in the city, but in the area, you know. So we feel that it is a major cause of, you know, toxic problems. And so we chose it as an illustration to the other companies in the area, including the 10,000 trucks that run to the port every day. Every day, 10,000 trucks through that particular neighborhood. We chose them as a mark to say to the other people that, you know, we don't like this. And although the neighborhood has been gentrified and you're pushing a lot of us out of the community, new people coming in are going to be even more hostile toward this chemical plant because they don't want to live in an area where these chemicals are so present, you know. But anyway, let me go back to the meeting because I was talking about the Air District.
In May.
Yes.
100 people came.
100 people came. And what we did is we organized our first Clean the Air Festival coalition meeting as a result of that 100 people. So we put on a event every year called the Clean Air Festival. We hadn't started this year, so we used that meeting to get people started in it. And we set up committees and so forth. But I'll talk about the festival later on.
Did people in this meeting in May, where they spoke to the Air District, did they have a chance to address the Red Star yeast management? Did they have an opportunity to tell them the bad health effects that they're having and all the problems it's creating in the community?
You mentioned earlier, how did I know that the Air District was kind of conciliatory to the plant? When we attempted to get, the gentleman stood up that was the manager of the plant, but the folks from the Air District basically told him that, you know, to hold your comments, that this was to let the community get their points of view out. And so he didn't really get to address, and we didn't get into a back and forth with him. I'm not sure that would have been productive because a lot of people want to beat him up. And so he kind of shrieked back to the back of the room. But we did know he was there after the first 30 minutes. But the Air District spoke to that they had talked to people in the neighborhood and that they feel that although people are a little upset, that all communities go through some kind of toxic violations. And so we asked him, is this the way you're supposed to come to a community that has gathered to, you know, raise a little bit of cane about this? We thought you would be more receptive to our concerns, but they have really got their line down, if I might say.
So they're basically just telling you, look, you're just going to have to live with this.
Right.
Before you even had a chance to voice your concerns.
And then by saying that we're going to give them the permit no matter what you say, it meant that we needed to start doing something different, like demonstrations to get attention.
Because you weren't going to win anything by talking to the Air District.
Exactly.
And they'd already had their mind made up.
That's how we got into actions. And
did they even seem at all as though they were considering your concerns?
No. They have done this for years, and they're going to continue doing it unless somebody stops them. And so that's what we're attempting to do. And the coalition is drawing strength. CWAR hosts a secondary coalition called the Coalition for a Clean Air Festival. And so any environmental group in the area, including Green Action, including the 7th Street Initiative, including CBE, I think it's Communities for a Better Environment. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a number of the Pacific Institute. There's a number of environmental groups who have gotten involved. Alan Edson, who I hope we'll get a chance to talk, or his wife Dana Harvey, are involved with a science institute of their own. So a number of groups have gotten involved and are now beginning to carry out various actions and so forth with us.
So there's a coalition of different groups working on this issue.
Yes.
And you're going to have clean air celebration in September, correct?
On the 28th of
the
September.
28th.
All day long. You come down.
I'm interested in that. Let's talk about that in a minute.
Okay.
When I asked you if we could just backtrack a little bit, after the May Air District meeting, you had a protest on June 18th, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then another one on short time after that?
Yes, June 18th, and then we did one, I believe, on the 23rd. Yes.
So what took place? How many people came out, and what happened?
For the first demonstration that was done right behind BART, we waited until people were coming from work about 4:30, and we had the nose out there. Have you ever seen a nose? It's a big, huge nose, about 6 feet, and it's about 4 feet at the bottom.
Kind of a puppet.
Yes, and it has large nostrils, and it kind of sucks in. It has this suction sound,
mm-hmm.
you know, so But when the nose sucks all of this stuff in, it kind of falls down, you know. Uh-huh. So this guy does this little skit all day long, and people are looking and laughing, and then we're handing out flyers. And
of course, during all of this, you're so close to the plant, anyone in the vicinity knows exactly what this is about because they can smell this horrible stench coming
right.
from it.
But what I must say is, other than that South Prescott neighborhood, which is right associated with the plant, other neighborhoods did not know where that smell was coming from, and they have not known for years. So what we've done is given the smell an identity in terms of where that particular smell is coming from in the form of Red Star yeast. But we had about 50 people demonstrating, and we all called in that day because we know we had more than the five calls. We still couldn't get through to the air district to give us some understanding. Then we got connected to Idaho, once to Utah, and it's a really a maze in terms of the responses. And well, nobody came out.
They like to make it that way.
Yes.
They like to make it difficult.
Yes. And I appreciate your appreciation of the facts, because this, all of these governance boards receive, you know, trivial tokens at the end of the year from the plants. They give them awards and stuff like that. And, you know, we feel that there's some other kind of enumeration going on as well, but I cannot give you facts, so I won't state any further points of consideration.
Well, the fact is that the Air District and the government should be responding to your concerns and not telling you in a meeting that, you know, you're just going to have to take it because that's the way it is. Every community has, toxins. But that brings up a question, that statement that every community has toxins. I mean, I'm sure that's true in this modern world. It's hard to escape them. But there certainly is something called environmental racism where poor communities of color experience this, you know, far more than
yes.
Others. So could you address that?
I am proud to hear you say that as a white female in this country. It's not very often that you get that kind of forward information from a person. I really appreciate that. I really do. And yes, it is a lot of that going on. And whenever you go into a city, if you go on the other side of the tracks, you will notice industry and other kinds of pollutants there. In fact, West Oakland has the port there, which is probably the economic engine of Oakland. And yet the port has, as I mentioned earlier, 10,000 trucks a day coming through the community. They can go around and get off the freeway at where the exit is at, but they're not so pleasing to us. So we'll have to address that later. But the point I'm making is that even before the plant was put there, Red Star Yeast, there used to be a company called Best Chemicals and Amco Chemicals. And the Army had all of its munitions that they loaded in the various chemicals. They just dumped it in the ground in the 50s and the 40s, you know, the stuff that they were using in World War II. So this is what West Oakland is full of, is all of these various kind of toxins. We've identified through Alan Edson's defensible communities document 300 locations of toxics. So what we're attempting to do is pick the most volatile ones and go after them and create a trend or a movement. Since there are new people moving into that community, that we want everybody to be alerted. And as I mentioned to you, since I did the demonstration in front of that factory, we get all kind of calls now for people saying to us, what can we do about Red Star yeast? We know where the plant is. I've been smelling that stuff for years. So that's why nobody has really gotten involved. They didn't know where the plant was or what. The smell is pretty diversified.
And this community
mm-hmm.
is low income?
Oh, 15,000 per capita on average, you know, and the high incomes in that community is probably like 37.
And the demographic, the number of
25,000.
But we're talking about a community of predominantly African-American community?
I would say 3/4 African-American and declining as Silicon Valley moves in and buys the cheap property up. But there was probably a good 18,000 African-Americans there, you know.
Okay, now, so you're saying there's a lot of industry in this area and a history of chemicals in this, even in the Red Star yeast, where before it was there was a chemical plant and there's a refinery in the community. So let's compare that to another area of Oakland. I mean, there must be far wealthier areas that don't have to suffer this kind of toxic pollution.
Well, let me just mention a few. Take Piedmont. Piedmont is its own incorporated city, and it has the hills associated with Piedmont. And then there's another area that is close to it. You know, it's called Trestle Glen, you know. And when you go into Trestle Glen, you smell no factories. You know, it's...
You don't hear loud trucks, 10,000 a day.
Oh, God, give me a break. You don't even see. You can't even put a diesel on the 580. They've brought doctors and lawyers out and protested successfully. And some 40 years ago, they got diesel trucks taken off of the freeway. You can't even go through there in a diesel, you know. So these communities are safe and sound and sane. And what all communities would like, I'm sure, to be like. And, you know, give people a chance to live out their lives and develop their cultures and share with their friends over the years and not die from so many incidents of cancer. And I'm not saying that cancer is not a problem that we can just, I mean, cancer problem we can just solve. Of course, we haven't found the medical genius to do that. But you don't have to have a cluster of 36 in the area so small, like one housing unit, 36 cases of cancer.
Now, can you give me just a few more specific examples of the health effects from this plant? And I believe they're putting out more than just the chemical you mentioned. What was that again?
Acetaldehyde.
Uh-huh. That one's a carcinogen that causes cancer, but it looks like they're also putting out some other pretty harmful things.
No,
looks
I don't
like
have
nitrogen
a list
oxides,
right,
that cause harmful health effects on the respiratory tract and central nervous system, immune system, etc. So there's some other things coming out of this place. But anyway, can you tell us what are some more, maybe some stories, some examples of people that you've maybe talked to that are having some problems because of this?
Okay,
place?
Let's take asthma. Young gentleman by the name of Mr. who spoke at the meeting on the 20th, and he's got up and said, excuse me, that he has asthma and that he goes to the hospital probably once a week, and he's sure that it's a cause associated with West Oakland, because whenever he's at his grandmother's house, he's not, you know, it's the air is different. It's in Clear Lake. And he doesn't get the asthma attacks that he gets in Oakland. So he's explaining that this thing smells so bad, he's like a block away from it.
Mm-hmm.
That he has a constant attack of asthma, and he has to go under these tents. I don't know what he means by a tent, but apparently something in the hospital, he gets there and he gets oxygen.
Mm-hmm.
He suffers this on a regular basis. So it is that I think that we have to notice the number of asthma cases, and it's 7 times more likely that you would have asthma in the West Oakland area than any other place in Oakland. Now, we chart that by hospitals who tell us the number of patients that come there for asthma treatment. And this plant is a product that's producing some of those cases of asthma. I won't say all, but some of the asthma they produce.
Mm-hmm. Why don't we end on, I have another interview in just a few minutes. So why don't we end on talking about the upcoming September 28th Clean Air Celebration. If you can just tell us what's planned for the day and maybe a way people can get more information about it.
Certainly. It is a culmination of all of our activities throughout the year in the environmental vein. And at this festival, which is held on the Mandela Transit Village parking lot across from the factory, It's a large parking lot. We'll put chairs out there. And we'll have a lot of booths and speakers, you know, including Barbara Lee. We're trying to get Aaron, no, what's her name? Mrs. Brockovich from... Aaron Brockovich, that's his name. We're trying to get her to come out and speak. We're trying to get Ron Dunham to speak. So we've got a number of people that are speaking. We've got about 20 bands. The thing goes from 10 o'clock till about 8.
And this is right outside the Red Star Yeast Plant?
Yeah, we do a march around the plant a couple of times. We want people to become activists and get involved, and so we use that march to stimulate them. And then we do workshops inside the warehouse that we have there. Workshops that involve, you know, the Asthma Association. There's the West Oakland Asthma Club. There's the Lung Cancer Group, you know, which is a part of ours, the Lead Abatement Group. So the different groups do workshops while the festival is going on. We stop the music outside when they're doing workshops inside and just let, you know, some dance troupe or something perform. It's, you know, we expect to get 2,000 to 6,000.
Mm-hmm.
And we hope that you are one of the people that's in the audience.
Is this on a weekend?
Saturday.
Okay.
Yes.
Is there a website or a phone number that people can call to get more information?
Yes. The phone number or directions to the location is 1801 Atline. That's in the west end of Oakland. And if you're coming from Santa Cruz, you get off the 880 freeway at Market Street exit, which is beyond the 980 turnoff. And you go down to street, that street that you exit off of to hit Adeline and make a right. And you come to 18th and Adeline, which is a big park there, DeFarmer Park, and the West Oakland Library. And we're in the library in room 209 upstairs. The phone number is 451-2967.
In the 510 area code.
In the 510 area code.
So
510-451-2967 or 49-0001.
And this is the West Oakland Coalition. The Coalition for
West
Oakland,
Revitalization.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thanks so much, Monsa, for coming in today.
It's my pleasure. Do give Dana and Alan a call later on today. I'm sure you'll get more facts because they're the statistical geniuses in this process. I'm just getting caught up on it. But I know that I want my community to be clean and wholesome.
Thank you.
Thank you.